Can. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be together again and just focusing our attention on God. We still haven't got over the COVID stuff, have we? We're still not quite all relaxed as we were beforehand, but that will come slowly, and we're learning how to manage that. So every week there's about half of us here, which is great, but we want that time when we can all feel comfortable coming together and really experiencing the presence of God together. There is something about being together and about worshipping that is powerful. It releases something in the heavenlies and it speaks to our spirit, and we've experienced that this morning. I want to talk today about a subject that we talk on once a year, but we're going to do it twice this year. Is that okay? There's a couple of things in the Bible that we talk just once about. So there's Christmas, we do the birth of Jesus, and Easter, we do his death and his resurrection. And that's it. We kind of pick it up once a year. So I'm going to talk about the resurrection this morning, because it's really key to everything that we do as church. And it's important that we understand it, that we know the kind of the spiritual meaning of that, and we know how to apply that to our lives so that we live in the freedom that Christ died and rose again for. So I want to talk about the resurrection. And it's one of those things that we've got to keep reminding ourselves about, that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Every morning, Jesus is risen, because it's important and critical to our faith that that's part of our value, our belief system, part of our human nature, particularly as you get a little bit older, and that'll be applied to some of you out there, not to me yet, is that we do forget things. We have this tendency to forget. Now, apparently, I forget everything that Linda tells me, so I'm in trouble all the time. I don't know whether that's typical of men and women. Is that which? Yes, I'm getting a lot of yeses from the ladies. So it's got so bad that now she's booking me in for a hearing test because she doesn't think I'm hearing her. I keep telling her I'm not deaf, I just don't listen. But we do, we forget things. We forget things, you know, you've experienced it, haven't you? You go into a room and you think, what am I doing here? Getting in your car and driving somewhere and thinking, where am I going? Arriving somewhere and wondering how you've got there. All that kind of thing goes on in our minds, because we get distracted and we can so easily forget just about anything, really. And that's why the Bible tells us, doesn't it, to remember my death, remember me, remember my death and my resurrection until I come again. And so it's something we do at the breaking of bread, and we've still got to work that one out. Sort of COVID-friendly breaking of bread, but we that's kind of on the table. But we've got to remember all the time, we've got to prompt ourselves to remember the resurrection of Jesus. Otherwise, we forget who we are in Christ, and we never want to underestimate the power of his death and his resurrection. And it's so easy just to kind of wash it away and forget about it and its significance in our faith walk. Last week, Jed reminded us that as we worship, we're singing theology. And did you notice that this morning? The songs are all about the resurrection of Jesus. They're all about he is risen. And the fact that because he is risen, he has opened up this door of access to his Father and given us the benefits of salvation because he is risen. And it's vital that we understand what this means and the impact that has for not just us, but for the world. The world needs to know that Jesus is risen. I suppose the Christian sort of faith or religion, we call it a faith because it's not religion. We don't religiously do things. We do things because we love God. We do things because we're called by God and we want to be obedient. But there are no other faiths where the leader has risen from the dead. The one who they are worshipping has risen. And this makes Christianity somewhat different from other religions. So it's important that we understand that and we put it into our daily living. It's a critical building block in Christianity. And for anybody that's read scripture, for anybody who understands something of the Bible, you will know that the Old Testament is looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus and to his resurrection. And the New Testament bears witness about his life, his death, and his resurrection, and what transformation that brought in the world. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the whole Bible just falls apart. It just begins to crumble because its whole focus is about the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, this is what was written, and it kind of sums up what I've just said. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, in fact, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, all people, to be pitied. So Paul was just emphasizing the vital aspect of the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise, he says we are of all people to be pitied, because we're putting our faith into something that has no effect. We're putting our faith in a man and not in God. Jed lent me a book this week called I Believe in the Resurrection of Jesus. It's a good book. But it's looking at the challenges between the historical facts and faith regarding the resurrection. And it's really important that we understand something of the historical facts about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. There is evidence that would suggest it is true. There seems little doubt about the death of Jesus. The issues are all around his resurrection. Some Christians, some faiths, believe that it was a spiritual resurrection, not a physical resurrection. And I've met people who were church leaders who haven't believed that Jesus rose from the dead. And they call themselves Christians. And we're going to look at why it's important that in our heart we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. He did come out of the grave victorious. If we look at the events at the time of the resurrection, even amongst the disciples, there was a great deal of doubt and confusion about, did he really rise from the dead? Was he really resurrected? And these guys have been living with Jesus. They'd spent a number of years watching him, experiencing his miracles, listening to his explanation of the kingdom of God. And yet some of them struggled when the news came that Jesus was risen from the grave. I've got some scriptures. I'm not going to kind of read all of them. There's Matthew 28:17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Mark 16 says, when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. If we go to Luke and to John, Judge is going to flick through those. But there's a lot of scripture around the time of the resurrection where the disciples were kind of in this state of confusion. Did he rise? Didn't he rise? And Jesus, as it says, he rebuked them because they refused to believe that he had risen from the dead. And so we always say, don't we, seeing is believing. So how can we believe something that happened so many years ago when we weren't there to see it? Jesus said this in John as he was talking to Thomas. This is the time when Thomas came to him because he doubted the resurrection. It says this in verse 29. Because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And so we fall into that category. We have not seen, but we believe. And we are, it says, we're blessed because of that. We're blessed because we have put our faith in him. I don't know about you, but do you like reasoning things out? Some people do and some people don't. But there is something about human reasoning and persuasion that is not enough to make us move from unbelief to belief. I don't know whether in your journey of faith you've ever talked to somebody who just doesn't believe and you've tried to persuade them that it's true. And very often we kind of hit a brick wall. We can't persuade people to become Christians just by persuasion. We can't evidence things, and so it's very, very difficult to persuade somebody that Jesus rose from the dead. Paul had a go at it, and he got frustrated as well. Acts 26 says this, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. In Acts 18, it says this, every Sabbath he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, I don't know whether you've ever experienced that, people can become abusive when we start talking about Jesus. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your heads, I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So he'd had enough, basically. He was trying to persuade the Jews that this man, this Jesus that they had killed, was in fact the Messiah. He was the way forward for the whole of the Jewish nation. But they rejected it. And so he went and said, I'm going to go and talk to the Gentiles. Will they listen to me? Even the disciples who were talking to Jesus on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection didn't recognize him and were talking to him about this Jesus who they'd been with, and they thought he was going to become the king of the Jews. They thought he was going to be a political leader. They misunderstood the mission of Jesus, and he was talking to them and they didn't realize it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him. They were just lost in this moment of confusion. And so if we're trying to persuade somebody to become a Christian, you've got your work cut out. Paul couldn't do it, and so we will struggle with that. I tried to think of an example, and I've kind of come up with one. It's like trying to talk to a Manchester City fan about the truth and greatness of United and whether you would ever persuade somebody to change. And you probably wouldn't, because they're all a bit daft, aren't they? No, they're not. They just don't put their faith in the real team. But that's how hard it is. When we're trying to persuade somebody about Christ, we think, well, we know all about it. We know it's real. It's true, and it works in my life. But when we try and persuade somebody, it's like, what's wrong with them? Why aren't they getting it? And so human persuasion isn't enough. And so we need to go down a different avenue. See, Jesus, through his actions on earth, was demonstrating to the Jews a new dispensation of the kingdom of heaven and how to access it. See, the Jews fully understood about sin and how it separated them from God. And they knew about the sacrifices they had to make to have their sin forgiven. They knew all about sacrifice for sin. They knew all about it. It's part of their heritage. It's part of their history. And so the death of something to pay for sin was well known to them. The death of Jesus was the culmination of all the learned theology of the Jews. It was a once and for all sacrifice for sin that paid the price for everyone forever. But they missed it and saw it as a challenge on their religious beliefs, not something better. See, the resurrection could only be of any effect if he actually was resurrected. If there was no resurrection, there was no victory, there was no salvation, there was no access to God. This sacrifice for sin was different than any sacrifice before. Jesus had lived a sinless life and died on the cross, that ultimate sacrifice of sin. And in a demonstration over the power of sin and death, he rose from the dead. He was our way of seeing who God was. It says in Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. God chose Jesus to carry the message of his interaction and intention for the world. Wrapped around the message is the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus. So something has to happen in us to recognize all that God has done through Christ. We have to see that in Jesus, who was raised from the dead, he has set us free from the power of sin. We can't reason this. We can understand the theology of it, but for it to impact our lives, we need some help. As we have seen, the disciples struggled to see it, even though they lived with him and they were there when it happened. Even they struggled to understand what it was all about. So what we're actually talking about is something inside of us, our spirit. See, God is spirit and he speaks to us through our spirit. That's how he communicates. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it was their spirit that died, not their bodies. Their bodies died many years later. But the moment they sinned, their spirit was dead and their direct communication, that relationship they had with God was broken and their spirit died. And God communicates to our spirit by the Holy Spirit, who reveals the nature and the truth of God to our hearts. We don't have to work out the evidence of the resurrection. We have to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. For many of us, it's like a light's been switched on. I don't know whether you can remember when you came to faith, what it was like, what it was that actually was the deciding issue. But it would have been because God was revealing himself to your heart. And suddenly something inside of you goes, wow, this is true. That Jesus died and he rose again and it's real and he can live in me. At that moment, we have to make a decision about following Christ, whether to actually accept this message or not, to trust in his love and his forgiveness and allow him to bring our spirits alive. The moment we do that, God pours faith into our hearts and we begin this amazing journey of faith with him. What a great moment it is, and I'm sure many of us can reflect on that, even if it's many, many years ago. This is a moment of revelation that can only happen because of the resurrection. Without it, there is nothing, because there would have been no power over sin that separates us from God. You have to excuse me, my voice is going. I sang too hard when we were worshipping, Ray. There was a moment when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was saying, who are people saying I am? Matthew 16. Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Something had to happen in Peter's heart, in his spirit, for him to know that this was Jesus, the Son of the living God. So I suppose the question this morning is, who do you say Jesus is? In your heart, who are you saying he is? So you can be around somebody and not really know who they are. If you know the story of the disciples, there was 12 disciples. One of them betrayed him. He didn't get Jesus. He saw him as an opportunity to make some money. And he spent years living with Jesus, seeing what Jesus had done, experiencing his message about the kingdom of heaven, but in his heart never responded. So we can be around somebody but not really know who they are. We can come to church, we can enjoy the service, we can like the company, we can like the preaching or maybe not, but we don't know who he is. Who is this Jesus? And what we need is that Peter moment, that moment when God reveals the truth about Jesus, not only his death but his resurrection, the power he has over sin and death, the power to bring our spirit alive that is dead. We need that moment when God breaks into our heart and makes us something new. When God brings us alive, when we are born again, saved, come to faith, whatever term we are used, God begins to live in us and he begins this tremendous journey of transformation. He changes us all the way through our lives as we respond to him. And some of us here may have let him in. But maybe we've closed the door. Maybe we've got along the journey and decided either it wasn't for us or we've just forgotten what Jesus has done for us and what he's given to us, and what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives, what plans he has for our future. Maybe we've forgotten all that just because we're human and we forget things. Maybe this morning God is revealing to you once again that he has plans for you, that he loves you, that he wants to take hold of your life and just transform you in such a positive way. He wants you to be completed in him. He wants you to continue that journey of completion. He started something in you, and God never stops working on our lives, but sometimes we can just close the door and forget all about him. So there's two things, isn't there? Maybe God is revealing himself to you for the first time. Maybe in your spirit something is happening, and that's the Holy Spirit actually beginning to talk to you because he's waking you up. He's revealing something of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus in your heart right now. And maybe some of us have closed the door on him and we've stopped that journey and we've forgotten about what he wants to do. I want to encourage you this morning to make a decision to open the door and let him in, to respond to the Holy Spirit as he prompts, to do something fresh in your life or bring you alive for the first time. Let's pray together. Father, we just, as we've been worshiping this morning and recognizing